5, 4, 3, 2,
countdown.
A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-B-C-D-E-F-G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-N-Z. We're back. The Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast in the building. I am your host, Ken Jones. To my left,
Morgan Jones.
And as I said, this is the Unrefined Sophisticates Podcast. We are on episode 166. Kind of reminds me of Route 66. One day I'm going to drive that because it seems like you should. Feels post-apocalyptic. I think of that. And I feel like it's been in hella movies that are zombie related or something where everyone in America has been killed off.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the highway to get us to the town where all the survivors are being housed. Sometimes this is a tangent before we jump into the things. Actually, I'll wait before doing that. I'm going to start with our shout outs. Let me give our shout outs, do this stuff before I go down my wormholes. So I'm going to shout out to Russia and France for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out to Los Angeles for being our top listening city and Encinitas and Gresham for being our top listening cities outside of Portland, Oregon. You know, shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. That's VIXBRAND. Check out the latest and greatest at VIXBRAND.co.com. Don't let your browser autofill that and mess it up for you. You can follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double those Aunt Andres. Ah. Oh. So a thing that I find myself falling off into some daydreams, it is the scenario that if a zombie apocalypse kicked off, and that's being dramatic, but just something that sent everyone into a survival mode beyond what COVID was, but to where people started, you know, having to really kick it into gears. Kill or be killed. Only the strong survive.
Indeed.
And how that would, you know, kind of play out. And thinking about, you know, in the movies that we watch, how the heroes in the Heron, is it? How do you say it? Heroine?
Yep, that's it. That's it. You got it right. Heron. Heroin,
there we go. How we you know, they make it through all the things and narrowly escaping death, and you know, there's always a target, a sure shot that's hitting everything from thousands of yards away that somehow misses them by just a hair. But I really think about that, being in that type of survival mode and thinking about simple things like water, being out of water hella quick. And realizing how many, I get the 5-gallon jugs that I use on a cooler that I have in my home. And I think about how fast, during especially during the warm season, how fast it is that I go through water. And thinking if it was a family, a group of people having to ration out things like water or be carrying water, because I'm thinking of being at home. So like, how much water can you carry with you? And then there's other elements about, you know, people who have been preparing for this situation their whole adult life.
Right.
And possibly before then, and how they're really ready for this. And we out here are trying to pull up YouTube. Like how to start a fire with twigs.
While it's happening.
While it's happening.
Do I still have service?
Yeah, like I knew I should have downloaded that to my phone.
You know, I had the option and everything.
But so with that, I think about where I would go because of, you know, not having family here, my kids being up in Seattle. Yeah. It's like, do I hop on the road and try to make it to them? Like, how would all of that play out?
Right.
And in my mind, because I am the star of the movie, it's yes. I'm dipping through the traffic the wrong way to make it to them, you know? But we think about things like my internet being down. Now some towers being hit and our phones don't work. To really take into like your thought process of internet down, phone service down, how A-S-S-E-D you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you legit have nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, you have nothing. And it's in, and again, I think about people who have like a plan, who have like, you know, this is our emergency. We meet here. We're going to be at this spot. They and that might seem goofy, but that's like, oh,
preparation
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. I don't have the wherewithal to do any of that prepping. And I also don't want to be like the one lady that makes it at the end of the zombie apocalypse. Like,
yeah.
I don't. No.
Do you? Would you just off yourself?
I don't think I would do that because I think I would just not be able to do that. But I don't know. Like, maybe I hit the trip and fall as the zombies are coming. I don't know. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want to be at the end. Like to repopulate the world or to. Nah, I gotta.
Oh yeah, because what if it ain't even no baddies left? You gotta hook up with a mountain man from the Caucasus Mountains coming down for you.
This is a Norse dude. No, thank you. No shit. No.
It's gonna be one of the island boys. And you.
No, see, that's why it's a hard no. I'm not gonna make. I do not want to be at the end. I don't. Absolutely not.
Ah, yeah. Now I think about that sometimes. Those are the random thoughts that run through my mind. I think that and the lotto are like comparable things.
Uh-huh.
And we do know that the lotto is happening.
So there's, you know, the, what's it called? Powerball, which I think is one of the bigger.
And that's the countrywide, right? That's like.
Yeah. Like yeah. And I don't know, maybe Mega Millions is more nationwide than it was when it first started, but I still don't think it's like everywhere. I could definitely be wrong about that, but either way.
Yeah, I always just know when I start seeing everybody talking about it from all the different places saying the same number, then I'm like, oh, that's the one that's, I'll never be knowing the differences.
Well, one, the Mega Millions is usually never this high. Like it's usually a much smaller jackpot than what a Powerball is. Okay. And no one has won Mega Millions since April. So it is now.
So how often do they go? Is it monthly or quarterly?
No, it's weekly. You know? They draw on Fridays. It might be twice a week.
What?
Let me be more betterer.
Pacific.
At this juncture. So it is not a small, you know, jackpot, but it's not usually as big as Powerball. It says it's offered in 45 states. So almost. But no one's won since April. What says the drawings are conducted at 11 p.m. Eastern, so 8 p.m. our time, Tuesdays and Fridays. So twice a week.
Whoa.
No one has won the jackpot. Now, this week, this Tuesday, there were some $1 million winners. There were a handful of $1 million winners, but that's nothing in comparison to the jackpot, which is $1.5 billion right now. And I have so many mixed feelings about the lot.
B.
Yeah, big
Bill Yun. Where do the taxes go?
That's what I want to talk about.
Cool, because
I have no idea. I don't have the answer. I just mean what? Because it says that a $1.5 billion dollar thing is about $780 million cash value, but that's before the taxes. So I don't know.
So what I'm seeing is $1.1 billion payout will be taxed as ordinary income. And that's from the director of National Association of Tax Professionals. So a winner would most certainly hit the maximum federal tax rate of 37%, bringing the prize to about $408 million after What?
Bruh. Run the numbers up. $408 million. And you,
but they, that's what you're left with at over a bill. What?
Government gonna get their coin.
That is wild. Which I know taxes do a lot of things, right? And I remember we were having a conversation offline a couple of weeks back just about the way that taxes work when it comes to your paychecks.
Yes, yes.
And realizing that, you know, some increases in salary aren't always a win.
Sometimes it hurts you more than it helps you.
Yeah. And just thinking about that in terms of what your dollar value, and when we talk about wages, we're talking about them pre-tax. We're talking about cost of living, which are post-tax.
And is the one thing that just keeps going up, 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 and your wages don't.
But them taxes do. I mean, and you keep getting less of your take-home pay. And it's interesting because I think about as many conversations that we have around livable wages and so on, the conversation is always on pre-tax dollars.
Yes.
The conversation is never what you actually get
in hand. What someone's going to take home, and then what will be their actual budget.
Yeah.
We talk about
everything. Those breakdowns do not be realistic.
Not even close. And that's on purpose. You know, like there's so many reasons why, because they don't take seriously. And when I say they, I mean the government. They don't take seriously how much people are struggling. You know what I mean? When it comes to making a decision of, should I take this promotion that comes with more money, but I will be taxed so severely that I might as well just stay down, you know, wherever I'm at, because I'm going to be taking home either less than or not enough to be talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you're taking on a whole bunch more responsibility.
Right. And so, you know, we all want to do our best. We want to excel. We want to, like, build our resumes and, you know, get all this experience. But if it's costing you more money to work than it is that you're receiving, you know what I mean? Like, it's confusing. How are we supposed to continue that way? And I'm a person who believes that the way that our tax structure is set up is, you know, we're paying the bulk of it, the people that don't make the millions and billions. And the more money you make, the less you actually pay. And the fact that people that are that insanely rich will spend the money that they would have paid in taxes on lawyers and accountants to make sure they don't pay the taxes. Like, it's not like they're not spending that money. And so I can't wrap my head around that at all, that you would spend that money on something else that isn't actually, like, just you, right? Like, the idea is if you're trying to evade taxes, it's because you need that money, or that money is earmarked for something. I don't know. But, like, you would spend the amount of money that the tax would have been to avoid paying it is just some real spiteful, like, ugly stuff, because we don't have the opportunity. Like, there is no opportunity for us to evade those taxes in that regard, right?
Like, I've legit thought about that in the way of, you know, we talk about college, higher education, and it's just your network, but thinking about being in college and the friends and stuff that you make, especially being, like, part of a fraternity or something like that, you know, these are the future MBAs and things that are happening, CPAs that are going to go into this world and know this stuff. And thinking about the people who have a buddy, a sibling, a family member, you know, whatever, that does know the tax codes, and just how useful that really is. And of course, these things are written in a way that it's not for your average person to understand. It's not set up for that, to know where to even go and look to find out what these loopholes are. And so for the people who do have the money to be able to pay to pay out, I see the value in it. If I could chip off whatever it is to be able to keep, like if I could find a way to get my taxes down to 1%, I'd be having a ball out here.
I mean, but that's the thing. This should be on a scale. It shouldn't be the scale that it is currently, where the people with the least amount of money pay the most amount of taxes. Yes. And that you get all these tax breaks for things that only certain people can get. Like, it's bananas how it is designed to keep a very small fraction of people wealthy and to allow a very small fraction of people to become wealthy. And then everybody else is just like
out here, naked,
excluded from even the opportunity. You know, so yeah. But also my other thing with the lottery is y'all. So there's 1.5 billy just floating about right now, and we can't do
which I also would love to know what the numbers are as far as, so that 1.5 billy pot, how much has been spent on tickets? Like right. That's something that I'd be interested in. I've never tried to look into that.
Well, but is that not how you get the money? How else do they get the money?
But still just knowing like, okay, if they're giving out 1 billy, did they make 40?
Oh, I see.
Right. Yeah, like that's, I wonder what those ratios are at. That's,
and also, but, so this is the first time I've gotten, I think I just got confused. So it was 1.5 billion, and then the cash value is 700 something million, but that's before taxes. So what's the difference there?
Oh, well, so
what is that money?
The cash value, based on the winning, that's because that's so
the 700. 47 million cash value before taxes would be the second largest prize in the game's history. And then the number you gave us was the 37% tax rate on the 700, whatever. So 408 million is what you actually take home. So that's more than half of that you're not getting. And this isn't me like, run me my billion. This is me like, wait, what's the gap between the 1.5 and the 750?
Yeah.
I want to know what that is. Not the number amount, listeners. The where does that money go? And what do you mean cash value? If all of this
is cash value. Oh.
And I don't think I've ever, and maybe I've just never.
Simulation.
Yes, it's breaking.
See? It's yen.
I'm
I'm interested in that.
Man. I'm interested in that. And also, again, we have so many ills going on. There are so many people without housing. And then
can I buy a Mega Millions online?
No.
Let me see.
Multiple different lotteries that get to be millions and millions and sometimes $1 billion. So it's like, What?
Boo. You can. New York has a subscription service. Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, New Hampshire, North Carolina, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, and Virginia.
It's online gambling, huh?
Ooh, that's tight.
It's yeah.
That's not tight. Cause just be able to be at the house.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I would change my, you can use a VPN, set it up for all those states. We might have to get this early. I might have to get it. Oh, what?
Super Bowl.
it's at 8 p.m. Pacific time, so it'd only be 24 minutes. I can't set up a VPN to do all that quick. Ain't nobody gonna win
next time.
So I'm gonna catch it. I'm gonna catch it for Tuesday.
I mean, they haven't won since April. So, but the thing that's crazy, 9 people won $1 million. Like, that's not bad. Not a bad jackpot.
Not at all. Or I like those things that are like where people win a certain dollar amount, like $1,000 a week for life. Like, I've seen things like that pop up. I would be to have something like that that is set up for a weekly, a monthly payment. Just
run it.
What?
Run it. Yo, they used to have one that was like $5,000 a month. And I was like, so then you keep your job. This was definitely when I was like 1,000 years younger. But I was like, so you keep your job and like continue to pay all your stuff and, you know, do that stuff with your job money. And then you just stack that or, you know, that's your, you know, in discretionary spending.
That
the right word? And now I have a different take on it because I don't have a regular job. But run me the weekly, the monthly. I'll take it monthly. Yeah, but it was like $5,000 monthly. A week, $1,000 a week. I'm taking all of yes.
Man, just to know like it's coming, guaranteed it's coming.
This
it's
is why I'm messing with the idea of universal basic income, because if we were all getting some of our needs met in a way where we didn't have to work full time hours just to live. Think of the things that the things that all these brains and could do. You know what I mean?
I promise that thought just was going through my head maybe 2 minutes ago while we were talking.
I believe
about the idea of being able to sit back and have a little bit of comfort in the space of knowing the necessities are handled,
taken care of.
And just to know how much better this world would be. We think of how many stories we hear, and not even stories we hear, people we know firsthand, that it's like the only thing, you just don't have the means.
Yep.
You have the ideas, you have the drive, you have all the
talent, the
yes, it's there. Product you just quality. Don't you just can't do nothing with it because you don't have the time and the resources, or the time to find the resources,
right,
to be able to expand on this. And even outside of like a business sense, it's like, think of the things that would help everyone, right? That people, if they could just sit and focus on remedying some of the woes of the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that like, I understand that we have this idea, like we've all lived in a culture of capitalism where that's not a thing, right?
Yep.
The only thing you're worth is what you're able to produce for someone else. That's your worth. I am just trying to get, and I don't have like the right words for it yet, but like we have to have a better imagination of what the world can be, because we're stuck on a bunch of different ideas that like people who have done this for longer than us have this like resentment towards ideas that would change our relationship with labor and our relationship with, you know, money. And they're so, because they just, you know, we're also just going through that capitalism motion. It's like, no, that's just the way it is. And so that's the way it has to be. And I just refuse to believe that that's true. Like, just because that's the way it's been does not mean we have to subscribe and continue to do it. Like, we just don't have to. But a lot of people need way more permission in their mind to be more imaginative. But like, seriously, think about what you could do if you had universal basic income, where that doesn't mean you don't work. It just means that you don't have to work 40 hours a week in order to pay for your life. And maybe you continue to work 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Money goes to your projects, your whatever those things are.
Turn this into a 3-day work week.
Right. Like
rotating shifts. Or not rotating shifts, but just rotate the people in. You may have to hire a few more people, but it's offset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, there are so many different ways to approach work and production. And so we're stuck in this one that only serves the people that get the most profit from it. And we could be in a place where it's a little more egalitarian and we all get to reap more of those benefits. Because honestly, when you are a CEO getting paid, you know, $250 million a year salaries and then getting bonuses of $150 million, $300 million, you know, man. Like at some point you got it, right? Like you don't actually need for people to still be starving in order for you to keep getting hundreds of millions of dollars a year. At some point, you, your family in many generations forward are good.
Yeah.
You know? And so we don't have to do it in the way that we do it. I would love to see more people being about the change of how we approach labor and production and money.
I'm in full agreement with this. I'm ready for the soft life, as the women's be saying.
Hey, run it to me.
You know, I subscribe to that.
All of it's been hard enough.
It's hard out here for a wimp when you're trying to get the money for some shrimps.
Thank you for listening to the Unrefined.
Right quick, I do want to throw a thing out there for the peoples that are listening to us on the X-Ray platform. There are new show applications open from July 25th to August 8th. There are, and by that, I mean, if you have a show idea and you want to pitch that and see if you can host a show, you can do that. You can submit an application to do that. So it's that time again.
And it's talk and music. So it's you
can be scritching and scratching.
You could be scritching and scratching. If you are a talk content person, you want news, fun, whatever, movie reviews. Yeah. Like, use your imagination. I clearly don't have one right now. But yeah, like it can be either.
You know, that actually is an idea that I've had about another version. Are doing a pod that is thinking about white classic movies and that I've never seen, and I don't know that they're like why they're so popular, and watching those movies and like giving my take on it hit me.
Hit the bell. I would like to hit the bell.
I think about that a lot when I hear certain movies. Like, I know the title and I know that this is a thing, but I've never saw it.
Heard it in the zeitgeist.
Yes. But I think about that. Like, that's been on my mind for years. I remember one of the other ideas, that this is an iteration of a previous idea, that was doing that with a white person that didn't subscribe to all the black movies and basically giving each other like a movie a week to review, and we got to watch that and then come in and talk about it, or watch the movies together, watch each of them together and then come back and talk about them. So that, you know, there's one that's real versed, you know, this is one of their childhood classics or something that was a cultural classic,
right?
And having the discussion around that. I'm sure there's probably something out there like that, but it ain't me, you know. Okay, so
here's what I immediately saw. I want the video footage of the two of you watching the movie each time. And I don't mean long form. Like, this can be
clipped, right? Just clipped out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to see you guys watching it so that, like, in those moments that are like iconic in that movie, to see how the person who understands it reacts and how the person who's brand new to it reacts. Yes. I would like, subscribe, Patreon. I'm paying all the things. Like, yes.
That's something.
I would offer up Lily to be your white person, but she's seen all the black movies.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody out of touch with that. Being able to go down. And actually, what it made me think of that was at one of our woke meetings, Ashley had, it was some reference, and she was saying like, I didn't watch movies, but like, so I don't know a lot of these pop culture references from stuff. And that's what was like, there are that it just, you can't, we, it's so many things that we use and that people use as pop culture references that don't even know where it came from.
Right.
it's just a thing that we understand.
Slang will come from, and like, so then, you know, say you use it at work, and somebody's just like lost, so lost. Yeah. My cousin Cecily is 6 years younger than me, and so I think that just in that time frame, because like I said, Lily's sister. Lily was in. She and I were watching the same thing, so we watched both iconic kind of things, right?
Yeah.
And Cecily just kind of missed that boat. So at some point a long time ago, I was like, we need to have an educational, each week we watch a movie so that you can like get up to snuff at this point, because you are so far behind. Like, you know, Friday, and that's like it.
Yeah.
You know,
I've had many moments where I've gotten a reference because I saw a movie later and was like, oh, that's right. Got it, coach.
We never ended up doing that, but shout out to Ceci because she was definitely down. She was like, I want to do all of those things. And we just never got to it.
I might got to.
I love this idea. Like, I want to, I will help
my white friend. Bring a white friend. Canada's white friend.
Watch movies. That's the name of the podcast.
Yep.
Canada's white friend.
Canada's white friend watching flicks.
So all of that to say, if you have a show idea.
Yes. Or you want to take that one and adapt it to your needs.
Don't give that to somebody else.
Intellectual property. You heard it here first.
You know?
IP, baby. Mm.
Yeah.
Timestamp.
Do not take that idea. And if it's already out there, you know, okay, fine. There may not be any original ideas left, but there is no other can.
Talk about it.
You know?
Talk about it.
Just there's only one, and it's this one.
Uno, uno, uno. Draw four, but it still ain't me. I drink tequila, lots of tequila. Not lots of. I feel like I gentlemanly drink tequila, but I've experienced a lot of types of tequilas in my lifetime. I feel like I've gotten to a nice prestige status with the tequilas in the world. And let me not even say that, because that's one of the things that, you know, as you get into it and realize that, oh, it's a lot. There's a lot. There's not a way to know what the best, you know, none of that. It's just too many options that exist. And I'm sure that's, you know, as you get into probably any alcohol category or spirit category, they've, it gets like that. But, I'm always, you know, up for trying the cool stuff that's out there. And of course, I'm always a fan of when the culture does things. We know in the 90s, there was a lot of 90s, 2000s, or I'd say the 2000s was the era of, you know, a lot of partnerships between African-Americans and big brands. I think the one that originally was St. Ives. That was the first that I recall. And it's probably Colt 45 or something was probably like the original. No, but that definitely for me,
that was Billy D. Williams, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. And but the St. Ives and the St. Ives Special Brews had a chokehold on the 90s that are, you know, very, very near and dear to my upbringing. then the 2000 Hypnotic, that was a, and that one wasn't even, that was just the culture took that by the hand and ran with it. Then we had, what was it? What came after that? What was Jay-Z getting everybody jiggy with? Is it Belvedere or something goofy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then the big though is when Puff came out. I feel like when Ciroc hit and being like, we thought like this was Puff's thing, not understanding how partnerships and things work, just thought he was at the house like, you know what, I got an idea for Ciroc and I'm gonna make this in my backyard and give it to y'all. So in the space of, you know, ownership, and again, since then it's been countless celebrities and so on that and I say celebrities just because those are the people that we know, and I'm sure there's plenty of other, you know, local. Shout out Chauncey with Maru Vodka vodka here in Portland, and there are some others, but something I happened to come across was the first black woman to solely own a tequila brand. And I made sure to emphasize solely because there are other black women who have came out with a tequila brand, but it was in partnership. Rather, it was them and one of their people or whatever. But Tiffany Hainsworth, had her brand, T Capri, that dropped here. What was that? When did it hit the market? We didn't get that, but it in these last couple of years, I'm going to say that.
Yes.
In these last couple of years. I've been working on
it for a while, since like 2018.
Yeah. Went from working for the governments for 20-something years, and then was in an accident and had some time to have to sit, had to, I'd say forced almost, to sit and think about what's next in life due to some of the injuries and so on from that accident, and started with making infused treats. So making like gourmet goodies. And then from there got some popularity and so it hit the shelves January 20th, 2021. But took that popularity of the treats that she was making, took that a step further and went into on her journey of starting her company or expanding her company, because the Tea Capri, I believe that was the name also of the gourmet treats, but then turned that into a tequila company, took her own self down to Jalisco. To those agave plants. It's an agave field. There's a photo of her sitting on the back of a truck, boots.
Real all-American.
Real all-American. She's got her Canadian tuxedo on, jean top, jean bottom. Out here, you know, looking like black women empowered.
Yes.
She's got this tequila brand.
You know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Definitely is precious. Yeah. So she dropped this, and I just thought that was kind of dope. And, you know, I'm all about the aesthetics, because as we've talked about many a times of how we buy different type of adult beverages, a lot of times it is based on the appearance. Like, how does that bottle look? That's going to draw us in. She's got a nice, beautiful bottle. Currently, it looks like she's got Blanco and Reposado out there for the peoples. You know, I'm big in Yeho. That's my lane. So hopefully she's going to drop that so I can see what that's about. Currently, she's got in stores in, I believe it was D.C. and Virginia area, but you can find the bottles online to be able to order you some if you want to do that. But definitely wanted to give a quick big up and shout out, you know, to some excellence happening from that of the diaspora.
Heck yeah.
Heck said yes. More. You know what the opposite of heck yes is? Nope.
True.
Okay, 2 Chainz.
I was hoping you didn't say that.
I just seen the chat, so my fault. But
it's all good.
While we here?
Yes.
Nope.
Well, here's the thing.
Spoiler alert, right quick, in case, depending on where this conversation goes, if you have not seen Jordan Peele's newest box office smash, then you might want to turn down your FM dial.
Yeah, I don't know how far we'll go. I just want to definitely, we both saw a movie separately.
Yep.
You saw it first. We haven't discussed it. I remember saying to you that it means a lot if in the moments that you want to go see a movie. Like, it's not I have to see it because we're going to talk about it, or I have to do this thing because of whatever. Like, you wanted to go see this. And that's a big deal. Like, that is a very, for longtime listeners, they know you have talked about, you know, sitting down for that long is just like almost torture. So, I want to know, how you felt.
What turns me on? I want to know.
I want to know what you thought of that movie, and what the experience of being in a theater, you know, and actually sitting was like.
So I will not ruin the movie. I'll just talk about the experience. Okay. So first off, I typically go to the same theater, which is theater over here close to me. They've got the nice seats. You can hit the little button.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So before those were common, there was Cinetopia. A lot of listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with Cinetopia. That was a certain experience, right? So every time I have been to the Cinetopia, I've always been in that type of setting. I didn't know that the Cinetopia also had auditoriums that did not have those features.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in a non-reclining situation.
Due to racism, I'm sure.
Racism. I'm pretty sure. They were I mean, we're actually going to move this theater over here.
You didn't put the black horror movie in the one where I can recline?
You can chill out, max, and relax? Nah. This ain't that.
So you're going to stay on the edge.
You might got to run. You guys got to run. You know how them blacks be. You know how them blacks be.
It's rough around here.
You feel me? Which I can say that the people sitting to my left, man, everything they say about black people, all the jokes and tropes.
Talking,
I was like,
loud.
And dude was not even, it was just conversation. And then dude was playing with not. At first, I thought, are you trying to slowly get something out of a crinkly bag? And then realize, like, no. Whatever plastic thing you have, you're like twirling it slowly.
On purpose. It's just. Oh, he's adding to the ambiance in his mind, maybe.
You know how when your ear tunes into something, like me, I think about, so at night, a lot of times I got to throw on. You know, whether it's a fan noise, I listen to tones and stuff because my ear will tune into something like my clock in the living room. I never hear it. My ear will tune into the. And once I hear it, I can't tune it out. This was one of those where and it just starts, you know, it drives up that fury.
Yes.
Is what starts driving. And that's what was happening with Oh Boy after a minute. Looked over a couple of times. I think he got that he was doing something extra and ended up stopping. But outside of that, not having my reclining set up, it was fairly packed. I'll say it was fairly packed in there. Yeah, yeah. Not to the brim, like there was definitely open areas, a few open seats, so it wasn't like one of those things that they had to turn people away at the door.
Right.
But what I will say overall with the movie is if somebody said, tell me about your favorite scene, I have nothing. If somebody said, tell me about a great scene, I have nothing. If somebody told me to give you a memorable dialogue, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like to where I had to come. I feel like I'm a fairly, I wouldn't even say intelligent. I am just. 1 + 1 = 2. I can put pieces together and come up with some, you know, fair ideas and understandings of things. And the dots that I was hoping to connect didn't connect.
Mm-hmm.
I was left with more of, okay, and then, so if that happened, then what? Like, okay, what? Performances great, like great performances in the roles being played, cinematography awesome,
crazy
coloring, lighting, all those things, but we expect this from this man, so nothing, no knock on any of those parts, pieces, portions, but there for me was just nothing that I took away to where I had to come home and go to the YouTubes and see if maybe I just missed completely the things and they didn't have much more to say than like, oh, you're just explaining scenes. You're not actually telling me anything here.
You gotta watch the things that Ambush watches. No, I don't know that he watched anything about Nope, but like mm-hmm. the breakdowns that he watches are like so detailed about. Yeah,
okay. So maybe I need to catch that, but I can honestly say for me, it wasn't I'm not gonna say it was a bad movie and don't go check it out. I'll just say that I was like, oh, okay, I saw that.
Wow.
It's, okay. It just didn't give me what Get Out, Us, like those sure. gave me something. This, I wouldn't even be able to have a real like discussion. I'd have more questions of what.
Well,
I get the theme. Let me say this. With everything I just said, I did pick up on what I was thinking was being said. Which is, you know, there's an overarching thing, which I won't throw out. I'll let people, you know, go into it and experience it themselves and see what they get. But okay. there definitely was, I did connect that and was like, okay, I get that. Cool. Cool. That's that.
So I will just say that it's interesting to me that Out by You is popping at the movies. We haven't gone to the movies a lot since COVID, but the times that we have been like 4 or 5 people total in the theater. And
what?
Yeah. So
I need the location of that.
Well, but it doesn't have really awesome reclining seats or anything. And so I think that might be maybe people.
Nah, with that, I'll go there and be on my phone and like laughing loud, bring some popcorn from the house.
It's legit. Like, no one's in there. And so
can I say this right quick? Sorry. Is that popcorn? So I used to pre-COVID, I used to go to the theater, walk in, buy a popcorn and go back home with that popcorn.
Right.
I really enjoy popcorn. Popcorn has not been the same. I don't know what's going on, but the popcorn at the theaters are not doing what they have done for me.
And that's giving what they supposed to give.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes me sad because I keep buying the big joint.
You keep going for it.
Yeah. And I just be disappointed.
So I would love for any of the listeners that work at movie theaters to tell us if the popcorn has in fact changed or have the way that you cook the popcorn. Pop the popcorn, not cook it. Pop it. I wonder.
Pop.
I'll say if somebody asked me what I really loved about that movie is that, it might be a spoiler. I can't say it. Dang. As you were saying certain things, I was like, oh, I could say that. Oh, no, that'll ruin
it. Okay.
So I can't say anything, but my experience wasn't the same. I'll say that.
Okay.
However, I will also say that, no, I did not come away from that movie with any of the same feelings as I did with Get Out. And Us, but it's
okay.
I don't think we're supposed to either. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to work on how I can talk about these things without messing the entire thing up. But I do appreciate.
Maybe we should do a side cast, not a side cast, but do like a short version where we actually talk about it and just load it up with
all the spoilers. Yeah,
all the spoilers. So I think we should do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. You guys will have to. Okay. Listen to that later, another time. But I do love that we went and saw a movie because that's rare. You like just do not care. And so the theater portion, like you'll just be like, I'll wait until it hits whatever and then I'll watch it. Maybe I'll watch it. But your version of watching it is like at home is like also working, which, you know, I'm not mad at. That's how I currently watch everything is sitting at my computer, working on other stuff and peeking over. So.
Yep. You want to know, I remember going to Vegas one time.
Okay.
I was on the strip and because I'm I want to see where the conversations go. When I'm stopped and talked to, most of the times I'll say 7 out of 10 times I'm going to engage.
Yeah.
And I engaged once and was given a discussion, had a discussion about basically snake oil in the form of a electric little machine that was supposed to, like, you know, shock your muscles into relaxing, and you could, it's like having a massage with electric pulses, right? And so this little machine was kind of like zap, you'd touch it on the spots, it would kind of zap, and I don't know if I was turning into Magneto, I don't know what, but in that moment I was like, this is actually kind of icy. I mean, it felt like it made my arm feel like dainty. So, and it could have just been the life being sucked out of my arm because of the electric pulses going that, in, losing my motor skills.
The idea of shocked to relaxation is,
Listen, it's electromagnet therapy. I don't know a thing, but with that, I remember thinking, doing it and doing it around my stomach and being like, is these like the pains of pregnancy, or not pregnancy, but more so of cramps, a period cramps. And I remember having that thought, like that was a real thought that went through my head of like, if I turn this up and do this, is that like what the people are grabbing and so on? Cause I have no, I mean, I'm a man, so I don't have any understanding of, and I think about too of how I used to think people were being dramatic with their allergies until I ended up with allergies. And was like, okay, I can see how people get all extra'd out. Okay, cool. Then scrolling the interwebs and came across the video of the period simulator.
Boy.
Hooking the men's up to it.
And letting the games begin.
But I do have, like, so watching this, one of the ones that stand out is like them saying, like, a dude like curling up and clearly in the highest points of pain. He's a teen on the little scale that they give you at the doctor, from the sad face, the happy face to the he's at the mouth is basically went from upside down frown to connecting at the bottom, and it's just like, and she's like, oh, it's at a 2. Typically, period cramps are at a 5. And
Average cramps are at a 5.
The average, yeah, not even, yeah, nothing crazy. And then my man mind kicked in. I was like, Dog, you know, you think about people who do, what is it, Muay Thai? The kickboxing.
Uh-huh.
The first time you kick a tree is going to blow your shins out.
Yes.
But after you've kicked that tree and you've kicked the tree and this is now a part of something that you do, it doesn't hit the same. Not saying it doesn't hurt. There's not pain involved. There's a tolerance that's built up that it's a, I'm kind of used to this.
Okay.
And it's a part of it. And you have a period often once a month, monthly,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes twice, sometimes three times.
All of these, everything, facts, big facts.
You feel me? So in that space, there
shouldn't we could just be fine?
Be not fine, because I'm not, like, kicking a tree is always going to feel something. But it's not like that first time of kicking that tree.
But what if the tree
there changed, may be trees right? with the hardness of the tree can change. So you're going around the world kicking trees. Some trees is going to be harder than others.
Right.
But there's still been something built up in preparation of tree being kicked that your body knows this tree is getting, oh, we're kicking trees.
Yeah, like I hear everything you're saying, and then I think immediately of your allergy analogy, where it's like, oh, I understand now. Like, those people get those allergies every year, or, you know, whatever the situation is seasonally, and as much as, you know, you can build a tolerance for a thing that sucks, it yeah. still can also hurt or be
yes.
Terrible or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But what I what I take away from what you're saying there is a period simulator would need to be done more than once for somebody to really understand what
yes
that's about. And yes. I absolutely agree with that. And I also think that, you know, I'm a person who thinks that there are a lot of people out there that don't have the capability, and that's this isn't shade, but they don't have the capability to empathize or to sympathize with something until they have experienced it, right?
Yes. Yes.
And,
yes,
yes. And so this kind of thing to me is super tight because then you have the moment. Here's the misleading thing, though. This is cramps are just one part of a period, right? Like, is it?
Would you consider it the worst part outside of
not even having close.
No?
Not even close.
What is the worst part in your opinion for your experience?
For me, are the migraines that come with a period okay. that are, and to your point earlier, where you know you get this, the first one's gonna hit harder than the other one.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, every single one of those are different.
Yeah, migraines.
You know, like, yeah. So for me, and not every woman gets a, or not everybody gets a migraine with their cycle, right? Uh-huh. I do. So for me, that's the worst part. The cramping okay. is also awful and isn't always the same. And there have been many a, you know, cycle where it's like, man, the cramps weren't that bad this time. You know, like
that's tight.
there is a
it's
tolerance.
It's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. And there are things that people can do to like regulate their cycle. And a lot of that is usually birth control of some form where it regulates for you. And so cool that that's getting taken away. But like the ability to know what's happening, that's what birth control gives you the most, like the regularity. So at the very least, I know I'm going to likely have a migraine for these 2 days this month, right?
Okay.
Like, that's the kind of thing that you can get from that. So for me, the cramps aren't the worst part. My cramps are awful and debilitating on their own, but they're not the entire time. So it's not, you know, yeah, I've just continued to be a student. I just continued to go to work. I just continued to live. Like, I didn't stop my life because I had really bad cramps or heavy flow or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like those, the cramps part is the part you can simulate.
Okay.
The nausea, the brain fog, the clumsiness, the weird, like gastrointestinal things, the going from having absolutely zero appetite to being hungry every second of the day. Like,
okay.
Then you add in a mood swing. Then you add in these emotions that are just like all over the place. And you don't know why. You wake up crying. Yeah. And you have no idea. Like, nothing happened to me. I just woke up.
Okay.
Like, all of, you can't simulate all of that, right? And so it's cute. It's cute. And I appreciate the fact that anybody would gain a better understanding from that, I appreciate its existence in order to do that.
Yeah.
But what comes with that, like, is not just cramps. And it's not like, and that unpredictability is so true for a lot of people. And so, you know, you can be 35 and think that you have it down and you know when your cycle comes. And so you wore the white pants that day. And now all of a sudden you're that's great. You know what I mean? Or whenever it is that you started your cycle and you and somebody else knows that you also started your cycle.
Yeah.
Like, that can happen to you at any moment because bodies are bodies and different situations. Stress can make it something else, you know, like whatever your mental health situation
is. Is it true that somebody can, the days leading up to like, let's say it's not, you've not started and then somebody got to knocking that thing in there to kick that joint into gear?
In or out.
Oh, you can knock a period out?
You can knock it off is what how I've always said it. Like, it got knocked off. So, like, by a few days, that can absolutely happen.
Y'all got to start telling us.
But it can also like, this wasn't supposed to happen for 5 more days, and here we are. Like, that is absolutely a thing. Yes. And I don't know the mechanics behind that, but so yes.
Shout outs to my brothers out there.
Got that accidental.
It started out cool, and he just put no towel down because there was nothing being known.
Hello. It's a big old whoopsie doodles on both parts. Like, no, how did this happen?
And I ain't gonna lie, as a man, and I'm sure all my other men can attest that have never been in that situation, your first thought is like, oh, she didn't even say nothing.
I mean, I think that's fair, honestly. He doesn't know that we could not know. So, like
get your horny self out of here. Right. You over here just participating
in the things without, that you know.
Knowing.
It legitimately, you have gone to the bathroom multiple times that day. Nothing to show for it. You are completely oblivious. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey.
Things I wasn't expecting.
You know what I did, because that just now made me think of this has had to happen because of that, like all the things that go into a session. And I'm thinking about the brothers out there who have, you know, getting down, doing the things, and lights is out. You know, you can't see nothing. You're going, and you know, you grown, you handling things, and you might have been knocking that thing out and want to take a pause on it and give her some pleasures.
Not take a pause on it.
You know, give her some pleasures, get back to doing the things, and then it's okay, we finish and it's cleanup time. You go to the bathroom, flick that light on, and now you're looking like a cannibal. Cannibal Lecter out here. Like, man, somebody's experienced that, and that's scary.
Rough stuff.
But if you know, you take anything from this, turn that light on. If you're going downtown, take a flashing light.
You gotta wear the head.
Oh, yeah. Strap light.
Go into the mine.
The mine. Thank you.
I don't know how we ended period simulators.
It went from period simulators to cannibalism.
Yo, what a mess.
Double entendre. I see you. She's filthy. Okay, we got to close on that note. There is no way to even go out besides that. So thank you all for rocking with us for another episode. You can follow us on the Instagrams. Follow us at the Unrefined Sophisticated. Let me actually take that back. I said the. That's not the name. Follow us at Unrefined Sophisticated. You can follow me, Can, at I Technically Can, and follow Morg at Portland Morgan. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And now,
it's checkout time. Gotta go. Yeah, baby.